Thank you, sister, for that beautiful song. This morning's message is entitled, My People. When we hear this expression, my people, there are many things that comes to our mind. One of them is, of course, we call my people some people that have the same nationality or the same race, or there is something in common. Basically, what makes the expression work is when I call someone my people is because something that I share a lot of things in common. So when the Bible use the expression my people, it is God is speaking, but it's not every single one that qualifies to be part of God's people. But there is things that are in common that then God feels comfortable call them my people. Today's message purpose is to show to all of us that God is anxious to include us in what he calls my people. First of all, it is very common to us, especially as a Seventh-day Adventist, that we study prophecy. And if there is one verse that we have heard, I don't know about you, for all the years that I have been a Seventh-day Adventist, I heard this text many, many times. Even myself, I have used it many times. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. I'll be reading from the New King James. Revelation 18, verse 4. Didn't you hear it before? Of course you have, because it's a very common. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. Allow me to please to paraphrase this. It says, basically, it says like this. Hey, you, I create you. I don't want you to be destroyed. Get away from sin and those that are holding to sin. Come, be my people. Leave sin behind and come and be with me. I don't want you to be destroyed. So walk away from sin because that's where destruction is. And come to me. My grace will receive you. You are my people. Now let's apply this throughout the history. Do you remember we mentioned last week when the first family had the first conflict, the major conflict, when Cain killed his brother and took his sisters and moved to the faraway land. And why he moved to faraway land is because he chose to walk away from God's people and to become his own people, build up his own people. And as later on in Genesis refers to the sons of men, which is not to be confused with the sons of God. So the sons of God remain my people. But those that walked away from God no longer were claimed by God to be his people, but actually was claimed by Satan to be his people. So now there is Satan's people and God's people, and they are away from each other, just like light and darkness are away from each other. But then, as we mentioned also last week, the sons of men has these beautiful daughters, and the sons of God got involved with them, which was a no, and it's still no, because it only brings trouble. It did bring trouble. Sin grew in perversion, and there was no more distinction between my people and Satan's people. So there was only one family left, the family of Noah. So God gave a mission to Noah. He told Noah, I want you to make an appeal. Yes, come out of her, my people. Lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. Yes, the calling was the same. And Noah repeated this calling for 120 years. Come out of her, my people. get away from sin because destruction is coming and there is only 120 years of grace. Get out of her, my people, because where is sin? Where there is sin, there is destruction, because the wages of sin is death. And the destroyer, Satan, is the one who is anxious to cause destruction to happen. So for 120 years, Noah said, come out. Come out, my people. Come out. I don't want you to be destroyed. Can you imagine the love and kindness that the Lord, our Father, our beloved Father, Abba, has for us, His people? And how I can imagine Him with tears, if we can personalize God in that way, with tears in His eyes, through the voice, using the voice of Noah, He says, come out, my people, come out. Many people don't understand that the 120 years that Noah preached and also built an ark, that ark was never to be used. Their ark was never meant to be used. Because if the people would have heard the cry of God, it says, come out of my people, and the people would have come to repentance, the Lord would not have allowed the destruction to come upon the whole world. You say, Pastor, how do you come to that conclusion? Yes, just look in the book of Jonah. You see, and there is other cases in the entire Bible that applies. If we repent, if repentance takes place, destruction doesn't come, because destruction comes as a result of sin. Destruction is connected to sin. It's the destroyer who brings destruction. And so when there is a time before the announcement of destruction, the call to come out, and the final, there is a period of grace. And that's the 120 years that God gave to that world before the flood. And God is still, and under His grace, keep telling, just like He said to Nineveh, send Jonah there, and Jonah preached. And they repented, and destruction did not come, because they repent. Every one of them repent. It would have happened before the flood as well. And the world would not have all the deserts, all the mess that we have today because of the flood, all the destruction, if the people would have heard the cry of God through the mouth of their just man, Noah. And if the people would have left their sins that have come. Many years went by, the flood came, new, and then again the call. Now, literally, you remember that Judah was taken prisoner to Babylon. And all the best, the wise, the youngest, the royalty, all of them were taken to Babylon. And you know why they were taken there? Because they start falling Babylon. They would start having sympathies to Babylon even before Babylon came, destroyed the temple, and took them captive. 70 years they stayed there. And then after 70 years, God called, come out of my people, come out of her. Lest you share her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. It was the same calling. And many came. Many came out of Babylon. They already speaking the language, Aramaic. They already have adapt their customs, their pagan practices and everything else. And some of them even brought, they got married to Babylonians and other people, and they came back. And Ezra said to them, send back to Babylon everything that belongs to Babylon. If it is your wife, his children, everything that belongs to Babylon must not be with you. You have to leave Babylon completely so you become completely my people. You cannot go around carrying Babylon stuff and still be called my people. If you want to be my people, you have to leave Babylon alone. leave the things of Babylon. Don't carry them around. Don't carry Babylon with you wherever you go. Not in your thoughts, not in your heart, not in your taste, not the way you eat, the way you dress. Leave Babylon alone, or you will suffer with her. You will receive the destruction that is coming her way. In 2 Chronicles, we find God's call to His people to seek Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, New King James. It says, "If my people, yes, my beloved people, who are called by my name," yes, it's just like it was married to me, it's my people, my special people, "if they will humble themselves and allow me to be the Lord of their lives and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways which bring them destruction, nothing else will bring them, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I will grant them grace if they leave sin away, if they seek my face because they are my people." In Psalms 28 verse 8, New Life Version says, "The Lord is the strength of His people. He is a safe place for His chosen one." Oh, brothers and sisters, you are His people. Don't forget, please mark this verse in your Bible. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is a safe place for His chosen one. The scripture for this morning, Romans 9, verse 25. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, which says, as it says also in Hosea, "I will call my people those who aren't my people, and the ones who isn't well loved, I will call loved one." The Lord is anxious to bring everyone who seeking His face, to seeking to do His will, to be included in this special group of people that will live forever, my people. Jeremiah 30, verse 22, I'm reading from the New Century Version, says like this, "So you will be my people, and I will be your God." Amen. Don't you like to have the opportunity to hear that? I will say this to you with confidence, that the Lord asked me to say this to you this morning, to give you the comfort that the Lord Himself is telling you, "So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Seek my face. Seek me, because I'm the one who can provide you the salvation that you need." Psalm 3, verse 8, also the same version. "The Lord can save His people." Yes, He can. He will. The Lord bless your people. Psalms 29, verse 11, New King James Version. Yes, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, you find a commandment that Jesus gave to His immediately disciples. And that passed on to you and myself. Because if we are His people, of course we are, then this commandment is to you and to me. This is the commandment that He gave to His people. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," because guess what? I have people everywhere, every nation, every color, both genders. He says, make them disciples. Make them aware that they have opportunity to become my people. And how they become my people? Because when you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they become ours. They are our people. They are my people. And to make sure that they are my people. Teach them to obey, to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you because you are my people. Even to the end of the age, I will be there with you. By the way, all the disciples heard when Jesus said this. They heard clearly when Jesus says, of all nations, baptize them, teach them to observe everything. They all heard. In John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, of course, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, including that go and make disciples of all nations. So, of course, Peter is supposed to know that. John, all the disciples, all the believers, all 500 of them, they all knew exactly what Jesus said. But yet, sadly, it looks like they forgot. Today I have I would like to bring to you a story. A story from the Bible written by Dr. Luke. And this will help us to understand how soon the disciples forgot that Jesus told them the definition of my people. I call this the lesson for a missionary, but it can be a lesson to all of us. Open your Bibles, please. In whatever version you may have, I'll be using the New King James just for this story. It's Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, New King James Version. It tells like this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion, what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man, and one who feared God, the true God, not the Roman pagan gods, not the true God, with all his household, his entire family. They all believe in God, the true God, who gave, he was very generous to the poor. He gave the people all from his own money. And he prayed to God always. He was a man of prayer. About the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God that came in and started talking to him. He says, Cornelius. And when he saw the angel, he was afraid and he said, what is, Lord? What is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your generosity, your gifts to the poor, came up for a memorial before God. Now, send a man to Joppa, which is 39.1 miles away, around 12 hours walking, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, you know, the one who works with leather, you know, the tenor, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. A little pause. One thing that we learned from the Bible is that every single time somebody needs a conversion and there's no church close by, God used the church. The Lord never bypassed the church, because when the church serves, the church learns as well. When the missionary here, in this case Peter, this was not only about Cornelius. This was about Peter too. God wants to teach Peter a lesson. See, Peter went to college. We call Jesus College, the Nazarene College. He went for 3.5 years to learn to be a pastor. He, every single day, it was an intensive course. He saw miracles. He saw the greatest sermons ever preached. he was there very close by, and he talked to the teacher. He questioned the teacher, and he was reprimanded by the teacher many times, but he was a very persistent student. That kind of a student that always raised his hand. Hey, teacher, I have another question. There was Peter. But he graduated in college, but still there are a few lessons that this preacher, this missionary, this evangelist need to learn. And Luke tells this story where there was a lesson for him, a lesson for you, and a lesson for all God's people. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, and there's an adjective here, a devout soldier. Not any soldier, but a soldier that believed just like him. From among all who wait on him continuously. And so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. He just tell them, go there, do this. No, he explained everything that took place. Now, these people start walking. And as I said, around 12 hours, it would take them to get there. Because I don't believe that they had any fancy transportation. The soldier maybe have a horse, but I don't know about the other two servants if they were also have a horse or they would just walk. We don't know for a fact how they got there, but we know it was 39 miles. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, and I can believe that they will leave very early in the morning to avoid the sun, the hot time. And then, of course, it says they drew near to the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray. You know, those days the house were flat. They used to use the roof to dry cereal, dry all the things, fruits. But also was by the beach, it was a cooler place. So Peter went up about the sixth hour, which is noon. At noontime. Then he became very hungry. And by the way, they were cooking downstairs. And you know, when people cook downstairs, the smell goes up. And so Peter up there was smelling the food. And immediately, as he was taking a nap, he had a vision. The King James says trance, but it's a vision. And saw heaven open. Another object, like a great sheet bound at the four corners, started to descend to him and let down to the earth. And it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, I can imagine a Seventh-day Adventist, especially a vegan one or a vegetarian one, hearing this commandment. Says, and voice came to him and says, hey, Seventh-day Adventist young missionary, get up, kill and eat. But, and by the way, I'm not making fun of anyone that has these beautiful, wonderful health habits. That's the way we should all be, okay? But in verse 14 it says, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never. By the way, when Peter says never, it means really never. Because many things we can say about Peter, but Peter was outspoken, but he spoke from the heart every single time. Right or wrong, he was always from the heart. And so he said, not so, Lord. I never eat anything common or unclean. Not only unclean, but anything that was not properly washed or anything else, I didn't touch either. In other words, I had a good habit, good eating habits, just by the book. Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again in a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. I'd like to make a pause here just to say to you, brothers and sisters, that I have heard many people from other religions. I had a friend once came to me and said, he was from the Pentecostal church. He came to me and says, Edelson, if I show you in the Bible a text that says that God made all animals clean, would you stop with this nonsense of not eating pork? I said, oh, well, of course I would. Show me. And he came with this text. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And I had the same impression that Peter had. When God told him this, Peter says, what in the world is God talking about? Because I know that God is not contradicting himself. He's not going to say that something that was the unclean now is clean. Now, I know God must be talking about something else. That's the same thing that I said to that young man. Just a second, let's read the whole chapter because God does not contradict himself. He doesn't tell me that something is unclean and then say, oh, guess what? I changed my mind. I made it clean. So I read the whole chapter. And when we found out, the young man walked away and he wants to go continue eating his pork. I think he cared more about his belly than his Bible. This was done 3 times and the object was taken up into heaven again. Of course, not that this bunch of animals was taken to heaven. This was just a vision. So, in verse 17, it says, now Peter wondered within himself, what is this all about? What is the meaning of this? Behold, the man who had been sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and he stood before the gate, verse 18, and they call and ask whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, is he here? Is he lodging here? While Peter thought about the vision, you see, he kept saying, he still saying, what in the world is this all about? The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, behold, 3 men. Remember, 3 times it was said, kill and eat. Now here comes 3 men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them. Don't doubt anything, for I have sent them. It's like that's the way the Holy Spirit has to talk to Peter. He said, Peter, don't fight or anything, just do it. Remember what we read before? Go to all nations, baptize them, and then it says that I'm going to send you a helper that will make you remember everything that I told you. And here's the same Holy Spirit telling Peter, Peter, I'm here to remind you of the things that you were taught before when you went to college to become a pastor. Here I am. Peter, just listen. Go with them. Yes, they are unclean people. They according to everything that you have been taught before. But I tell you, go with them. And let's say that one thing that is beautiful about Peter, when God told this straightforward to Peter, Peter did not complain. He just obeyed. Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come? So far, the Holy Spirit did not tell him, only told him, go with them. So he says, what is the reason? Why? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, am I in trouble? Why is this powerful man sent for me? No, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Oh, God himself has commanded you to come to his house and tell him the words of life. Brothers and sisters, how many times have you felt a calling from God to talk to the people that God wants to call his people? Don't resist when you hear that voice. You are God's people if you hear his voice. It says, verse 23, then he invited them in. Something that he was not supposed to, but he did because the Holy Spirit was talking to him and he did not dare to question the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we must listen. On the next day, so they stay overnight there. They ate with them. And then the next day, early in the morning, of course, they went away. And some brethren that heard of what was going on decided to go along to see what in the world is happening here. Something very special. This was a surprise for them. It was not supposed to, if they have remembered what Jesus Christ said, of all nations, even Romans. And the following day, they enter Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting anxiously, of course, for them and had called together his relatives, the close friends, everyone in the neighborhood that wants to hear this beautiful miracle that is about to happen. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down to his feet and worshiped Peter. But you know, Peter was not a Roman Catholic then, so Peter says, lift up and say, stand up. I myself, I'm just a man. I don't mean this as a criticism, but I want to say this to brothers and sisters. If you go to Rome, you see an image of someone they call Peter. Actually, it's Jupiter, but they say this is Peter. And the people come and they kiss the toe of that image to a point that the toe was almost eaten up by saliva. So they have to put something around the statue to protect the statue against the people who started kissing the foot of that image, that it was not even Peter. Anyway, but here Peter, the real Peter, said, stand up. I myself also a man. In other words, don't worship me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the head of the leader of the Roman church today would stop people from start kissing his feet and kissing his hand all the time, and they start calling himself a holy Abba, and just say, just like the real Peter said, stand up, I'm just a man like yourself. I'm not here to be an object of worship. And as he talked to him, he went in and found many, many who had come together. Why? Because they were hungry. Why? Because they were God's people. God's people that needs to be met by the church of God and must be recognized that they are God's people. They have to be ministered to them. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another, to another's nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man, any human, common or unclean. Not food, brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do with food at all. And I told that Pentecostal young man, I said, this has nothing to do with the food. This has to do with preaching to the people and to make sure that those that are seeking God have an opportunity to be ministered by the church of God. Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as he could have added here, as soon as the Holy Spirit told me to not to object and get up and go, I did. As soon as I was sent for, I came. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? And then Cornelius go and tell the whole story. He tells everything, how he was praying and how he was told to send for the church to come to him. Some people think, oh, it's not important what church I belong to. It's not important you know, church is just a group of human beings. When one thing we learn about this story, as well as the story in chapter 8 and 9, and also in this 10, is that God always never bypassed the church. He always used the church as the instrument, as his hand, to touch his people, to minister to his people. He used his church. The word, verse 36, the word which God sent for the children of Israel, preaching. And so Peter start verse 34, Peter started telling him. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, you know, here's exactly what you said for me. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. In other words, God does not discriminate, and nobody should discriminate. It doesn't matter. I feel very, very, very uneasy, very unhappy sometimes when I see people are more concerned about classify people by race, by culture, and they make these little nests of people because they need to be together, because they speak the same language, they are the same race, and then maybe they will be better be with their own kind. They should read in the Bible that God says, I know in truth that God does not show partiality. God does not discriminate. For God, we all equal. Yeah, I heard an amen in the background. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted and become his people, my people. So what makes a person his people? Whoever fears him, in other words, respect him, and produce works of righteousness, it is accepted by him, just like Cornelius did and his family. The word which God sent for the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, and he spoke about Jesus Christ, how he was crucified, and how he was resurrected, and how he was a witness. And he said, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The end of verse 43. Now, the Holy Spirit was very involved, and he is always very involved in the works of the church. In verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all God's people that were in their place. And Cornelius, his family. And by the way, I don't know what version of the Bible you have. They didn't start making noise like, speaking. No, what they did, they spoke in a Greek says, in other languages. Languages, not noise, okay? Please don't let people fool you with this. They spoke in other languages. Because there were servants, there were people that were Greek, there were people that were Jewish, there were people from other, they all spoke in different languages. Then people answered, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that this should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just like we have? Just like Jesus Christ says, go and baptize them on all nations. And here come people from all the nations, and they are seeking to be God's people. Let's baptize them as Jesus Christ says. Let's baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he did. He baptized them. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then Peter was invited to be Cornelius' guest for a few days. Dear brothers and sisters, the true identity of God's people is very clear in the scriptures. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mountain, chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, says clearly, what makes God's people is not that somebody just go to church and says hallelujahs have this big church and do a lot of charity work. That is all nice to be nice to other people, but that's not all that makes. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom or is part of God's people. But who is part of God's people? Somebody says, oh, we cast out demons. That's not, Jesus says, away from me. You, I have no idea who you are because you practice iniquity. The true identity of God's people, who God really calls his people, You find in John 14, verse 15, New King James, if you love me, keep my commandments, then you'll be my people. You see, my people keep what is mine, my will. My people are under my grace. My people receive my mercies. My people receives what is mine. What is mine will be also my people. So my will is their will. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, New King James, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Well, by this we know that if we are his people, we are his people if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him, so he is not his people. It doesn't matter what, how many times, how many hours, how many days you go to church. Even if you go to church on the right day, but if you are not, who wants to keep his will and is delighted in doing his will, not doing his will like a burden, but doing his will as a pleasure. You see, the doing business is very complicated. We are in church to do things. We are in a church to be. We need to be like God, not to do things, think that by doing we become like God. Now, we are asked to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit may mold us into be like God. And being like God will be natural to us to keep his will and to do his commandments, to keep his commandments. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him, that we are his people. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that remain, the remnant. After all that the Satan has persecuted the church, here are the ones, his people. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 37, verse 13, New Century Version, it says this, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and cause you to come up from them. Just this past week, we received a notification that a sister who was Louisa passed suddenly with a heart attack, and she left her children and grandchildren. And left our beloved sister Fu also with a heart broken to be separated from her sister. But Sister Fu has shared with us and says she was baptized, Pastor, and we hope that we'll see her again. So as a comfort, read this, Sister Fu, read Ezekiel 37:13. I'm reading for the New Century. Let me read it again, which says, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and cause you to come up from them. Also, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. I chose the Common English Bible for this one because it has a better translation than other translations. In other translations, they use the word soul in a double meaning, but this one is more faithful to the original. It says, then I saw thrones, and people took their seats on them, and judgment was given in their favor. They were the ones who had been beheaded, persecuted, killed for their witness to Jesus and God's word. And those who hadn't worshipped the beast or its image, who hadn't received the mark on their foreheads or hand, they had come to life and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. You know that one vacation that we are promised that we're going to be in heaven for 1,000 years? That is reserved only for my people. only this is what God says, my people have a special vacation waiting for them. Those that are where they did not allow their thinking, that's what his forehead means, the sign of the beast on there. They don't allow Rome to rule their thinking or their work, which is the hand, you know, they are God's people. They think as God wants them to think, and they produce the works of the Holy Spirit. And in closing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, in New King James Version. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive still, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I'm going to add a sentence. As I can hear the Lord saying something like this. Come in, my people. Come in, because the banquet is prepared for you. Come in, my people. Come in. God bless.